You are the eyes and ears. You are kind of almost a tour guide to people that come to the city. They see that uniform. It's not just all giving tickets and arresting people. It's where's the best restaurant? Where's the bathroom? You know, where is the pet store? Different things like that. Be an ambassador to the city.
My name's Johnny Reinhardt, and I've lived in Southwest Michigan most of my life. It's such a wonderful community full of so many great things, but the best part is the people, families, history, and especially the stories that make it great. And with every story, you have to start somewhere. This is Start From the Beginning, Stories from Southwest Michigan. Welcome to episode 13, and I'm so excited to be talking with this person, somebody that I would definitely put on the list if I was trying to find the perfect person to be the ambassador of Southwest Michigan. I would definitely put Denise Fisher on that list. We talked about a lot of different things, everything from her 26-year career as a police officer for the city of St. Joe, her volunteerism that she has done for many years with Blossom Time, as well as the person that she is a huge fan of. I don't want to give that away just yet because, well, we need to start from the beginning with Denise Fisher. Well, hey, Denise, it's so nice to talk to you. Denise Fisher, you are somebody I've known for a number of years, but, you know, just like everybody that I've had a chance to talk to, even the people that I know, I learned so much more about them in this brief conversation that we get to have. So I'm so glad, first off, that you said yes to this. And what's so funny is that you, much like other people have said, they're like, well, I don't know much of a story I have to tell. You do have a long story of many different things that we can talk about. But first off, just like the show's called, I want to start from the beginning. So are you originally from this St. Joe area?
I'm from Sawyer. Okay. I'm a River Valley Mustang girl.
Ooh, go Mustangs.
Yeah, yeah. Great basketball. You know, growing up, I got to see the state championship down there and the runners up and be a part of that whole thing. And the whole Schaefer legacy clan, you know? And so, yeah, I'm from Sawyer. That's my wonderful. Dad grew up in Benton Harbor and my mom was raised in New Troy after her parents, my grandparents, moved from Chicago when she was three.
So what was life like for you growing up as a River Valley Mustang? What was Denise like in elementary school?
Let's see. I tried to be good, but what's funny is my friend that I've known since first grade, she just sent me this thing on Facebook, and it was a little meme about separating kids because they got in trouble. It was hilarious because in second grade, she and I had to be separated because, well, we just talked too much. Imagine that. And subsequently, third, fourth, fifth grade, well, we were together in fifth grade, but they separated us in that class. But we were not allowed to be in the same class for a while because we were just too talkative.
That's totally fine. I had that same problem, if you can even see that as an issue for me of having a problem talking. But that's not necessarily a bad thing unless it affects your schoolwork. And then if that's much of a distraction, then I understand why you may have gotten separated, but it probably didn't stop you from still hanging out with your friends.
We hung out all the time. And matter of fact, it was lots of sleepovers and, her name is Laura. And, she and I had a lot of sleepovers, Monty Python nights, you know, the whole spam thing, the Beatles, you know, we could sing along to like every Beatles song probably to this day. And she and I just love Monty Python. So a lot of that, still stay in touch.
I'm a huge Monty Python fan as well. That's stuff that's it's not only classic, but even when you watched it, when it was on from the beginning, it's something you can always turn to and always enjoy. And it's hilarious.
Well, it was. And actually, fast forward to being in school at Ferris when I was getting my academy training and my bachelor's degree in criminal justice. Between my junior and senior year at Ferris, we had to go back in the summer. And part of the class that we had was bomb training. And I know that sounds, it wasn't all that exciting. No. But the instructor actually started, he says, we have an instructional video, and it was the scene from The Life of Brian where the big guy is eating so much that he explodes.
Yep.
So that was the that was the instructional video at the start of that class.
What an icebreaker.
It was
for a class like that. I mean, but that's what you kind of have to do when it comes to a serious training like that, and even police training, is that you kind of have to have the little bit of a, hey, we're all humans. We all, this is something we have to do. This is the training. We don't want it to just be something that you won't enjoy. We have to be a little bit laid back with certain stuff. So What made you, so was it in high school, or when was it which you said, hey, I really think that criminal justice and being a police officer is something that I want to do? When did you make that decision?
Well, growing up, my grandfather, my mom's dad, and my father were actually firefighters, reserve firefighters for Chickaming Township. And my cousin, Dale, who I just adore, was a full-time firefighter in Winnetka, Illinois. And he started that when I was a little kid. And so sometimes when we would go visit our relatives over there in Deerfield, Illinois, he would be training and we would go watch them train.
Okay.
And I thought, oh my gosh, I want to be a firefighter. And then one day at River Valley, we had the colleges came, we had a college career day, and Michigan State had their people there and they were promoting criminal justice, being a police officer. I thought, well, that's really cool. I don't want an office job. I want a job that is, you know, a career that's rewarding. I want to help people. And so I thought, okay, I'm going to be a police officer. And I've always wanted to go to Michigan State. I've bled green since I was born, but Ferris State had the better program. Sorry, Spartans. So I went and I went to LMC first, and then I became a Ferris State Bulldog. And that I just wanted to help people, and it kind of came full circle when in 2012, St. Joe went public safety, and I was one of the first nine to go through the fire academy training. So I became a firefighter anyway before the end of my career. But basically, it was just in a roundabout way with my mom, or with my dad and my grandfather and my cousin being firefighters.
Yeah. And that's usually a dream. And I'm sure a lot of kids still have that dream of, if you ask a kid right now that's 5-6 years old, what do you want to be when you grow up? And they say firefighter, police officer, something like that. And so it's that influence that you had at a young age that kind of pushed you towards that. And you had a long career. What, 26 year career?
26 years and 4 months.
Wow. So, okay. So what was the first day? Let's go to police training and that point. So you get out of college and you get into what, the police academy? Then is that how that process goes?
Well, I went to LMC and got my associate's degree, and then I transferred up to Ferris to get my bachelor's degree. And the one thing about Ferris State is your junior and senior year, you have the track courses for criminal justice. So you are in the academy at the same time you are getting your bachelor's degree.
Okay. Wow. So it's a way to kind of cover both bases. And then by the time you graduate, you're able to take a job as a police.
You have to have your what's called MCOLS training, your Michigan law enforcement, license basically. Yeah. And you have a written test that you have to take at the end and a physical agility test. And that goes towards your MCOL certification to become a police officer. And then it's just a matter of getting hired, at some place. And I had applied at a few different places. And when I applied at St. Joe, we had, I think it was like 40 some people taking the written exam, and you had to have at least a 70% on the written exam to even go to the next level. Of course, that's unheard of now. We only have a few people, it seems like, that apply, but that's what it was. And then I got hired in at St. Joe.
Wow.
And I started in December of 1988.
And were you one of, how many women were in the police force at that time at St. Joe?
There was one other person that was on the road. We had a couple of secretaries and we had some dispatchers, but on the road was one other female, and that was Lisa. And Lisa was actually in our wedding. And then she left, and I was the only one. We had some female reserves, but as far as full-time female police officers, I was the only one. And I'm still the only one that's retired from the police or fire department.
Wow. And so, okay, so let's talk about your first start as a police officer, and as you're going through the academy doing all that stuff. At any point, did you think this is maybe not the right thing for me, or did you think, I think I'm in the right spot. I think I know what I'm doing, and I'm pretty good at this.
I got to tell you though, I'd never shot a gun before. Okay. Until I got to the academy, but there were a lot of people there that had already been out, you know, they were hunters, or they just lived in an area where they, you know, randomly, I guess, you know, were able to learn how to shoot or something like that. So that was all new to me, but I never thought that, no, my gosh, this is the wrong career. I had a little different expectations, I guess, once I got out of the academy and got started in the career, that I don't think I accomplished, but overall, I think it was a good, you know, good career. I like the aspect of the investigation, and I guess that, you know, kind of a busybody, nosy person that kind of helps you learn how to investigate things and gives you that sixth sense, you know, that feeling you have in your gut that, you know, what's going on, something's not right, or this might not be right, or.
Yeah. No, and I think that's the people that are the best at, and not only as police officers, but the best at that, especially that line of work, is that level of curiosity, the knowing something seems a little off here, and you have to sort of have that sixth sense at all times and be alert and know what's going on. But that investigation mindset of wanting to know more certainly helps when you're a police officer to know all that stuff, I'm sure. So that's what I think that's pretty interesting that you didn't fire a gun, especially living in that and going to River Valley and going to that school, because this is a very large hunting community. Mm-hmm. And not have that experience. So was that weird? What was that feeling that first when they said, all right, now you got, because I feel like you had that feel of I want to do this criminal justice and all that, and then it's like, all right, guys, now it's time to pick up a gun and learn how to do all that. What was that feeling like?
You know, the handgun obviously was fine. It was okay. You know, the first, you know, there were revolvers back then. I'm like, okay, that's I got this. This is okay. And then the first time I shot a shotgun, I fell right on my butt. You know, and of course that was a big joke in the class, is to see who's going to do that first. I never fired a shotgun, and you know, I didn't have it in my shoulder well enough, and that thing, I was like, of course I was a lot skinnier and lighter then, and that, you know, feet came out from underneath me, and yeah, so it was kind of a joke in the beginning, but I learned how to do it pretty well after that.
So. Yeah, absolutely.
I got that first one out of the way, and then the rest was good.
Yeah, and I'm sure that the same thing kind of happened to the guys too, I'm sure.
I passed with flying colors, so I'm like,
no, that,
I learned how to do it.
That's awesome. And so when you stepped in as a police officer and you got in the car for the first time as far as St. Joe, when you got that job, what was that like?
You know, it was you like a lot of jobs, you learn things in school, but you don't learn a lot until you get into that field. Yeah. There's a lot of field training, a lot of things that school doesn't teach you. You know, you got to learn street smarts also. And there's a learning curve there.
Mm-hmm.
I worked with a lot of great people, you know, that taught me a lot of good things, a lot of things I needed to know.
What would you say is the best piece of advice maybe you got, whether maybe from family or from people at the academy, or maybe your superiors when in St. Joe? What was the best piece of advice that you got, not only as you started out, but over the years?
To be safe and actually be respectful. Everybody has a story. There's a reason you're at that point in somebody's life.
Yeah, because you're catching people and many times on their worst day. And, mm-hmm. and you have to be, like you said, alert and not only keep yourself safe, but also keep everyone safe, because that's the most important thing. That right. is your job as a police officer, is to keep everyone safe, is serve and protect. That is what everyone always says with police officers. Right. That's the mantra.
And one of the tasks that I had for a really long time, and I really enjoyed it, was I was actually in charge of our reserve program. And one of the things I told them, and this is kind of a simple thing, is know the city.
Yeah.
You are the eyes and ears. You are kind of almost a tour guide to people that come to the city. They see that uniform. It's not just all giving tickets and arresting people. It's where's the best restaurant? Where's the bathroom? You know, where is the pet store? Where's G&M Variety? You know, different things like that. Know the street, know, you know, be an ambassador to the city. Is what I would always tell them.
Yeah, no, I think that's a great way to think about it, because especially in no matter if the town is large or small, you do need to know where you're going. But also, yeah, you may have a question of somebody just walking up to you and saying, hey, what about this? How do I find this? And that's another aspect that some people may not grasp at the beginning, at least.
Well, I think some people would come up to you and say, hey, you know, we know that you have to go out to eat. Where do you eat? Where do you as a police officer like to go to eat? You know, and that is that was one of the biggest questions I think I got a lot if we were walking around downtown. OK, what's the best place to go eat?
So what is the best place to go eat?
Oh, gosh, I don't want to throw anybody under the bus. Oh,
right. You don't have to throw anybody under the bus.
Thornton's. Oh, my gosh. We're at Thornton's all the time for breakfast. We love the Buck. We love 221. You know, back in the day, HI's. Oh, my gosh. We were at HI's. Was awesome. Back before it was the Buck, of course, mm-hmm. we were always at Silver Dollar. of course, pizza. You got to go to Silver, you know, Silver Beach Pizza.
No, you're not throwing anybody out of the bus. You're giving great advice. You know,
we don't have any kids, so we eat out all the time. So there's a lot of places out, even outside of the city, you know, the Mark III, Santanello's. I could name them all that we are probably at.
But that's another aspect of when you are a police officer, is you're on the go all the time. And yeah, when you do have that brief moment to grab a bite to eat, that's, those places, you know that it's not only going to be good food, but it's maybe also you have that, okay, this is going to be a quick meal because we've only got a certain amount of time that we can have lunch or a breakfast or something like that. So getting out and doing some of that stuff. And you've been in the 26 years of your career, you did a lot of different things in many aspects. And one of them I want to talk about is Blossom Time. Is what got you into being part of a Blossom Time, not just as that, I guess, tour guide or a traffic coordinator or whatever that a police officer will do while the parade goes. You've actually entrenched yourself in a lot of different things with Blossom Time, and that's just a fun thing in the community. What made you get into that?
Back over 40 years ago, there was an ad in the paper that they needed help for the Grand Floral Parade. And my parents and actually another friend of ours, Terry Snyder, she and my parents answered the ad and started volunteering for the Grand Floral Parade. So growing up, it was a huge part of my life because they volunteered. And even when, you know, that puts me back into junior high, that's going to date me. But I would go there with them and they would be like into marshalling or whatever. And I would see that. And then just watching the parade over the years, since they were still volunteering, then being in the marching band, being on one of the queen floats, the local queen float, and then starting at the police department, you know, every Blossom Time parade, we were there. And I just, you know, my mom said, hey, you know, because my mom ended up on the board of directors in Central Queens, and my dad still volunteered, and Terry, of course, is still on there. And they said, do you want to, you know, be on Central Queens? Do you want to volunteer to do other things? And that's how I ended up on Central Queens and then subsequently on the board. And unfortunately, my parents don't get to volunteer for that all that much anymore. But my friend Terry is still on there. And so that's how for the last, gosh, 40 years, 40 plus years, my family's been involved in Blossom Time. And it's another way to give back to the community, because when I was growing up, that was instilled in my late brother and I, is that you give back to the community if you can, whether it was a, you know, a canned food drive at the church, even though we might not be able to rub two nickels together in our own family, you always gave back to the community, whether it was a canned food drive or delivering food baskets or, you know, volunteering for something like, you know, Blossom Time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Or becoming a police officer. It's another way of serving your community that has been a key part of your life. And even as you retired a few years ago, is you still love to be involved in the community in so many different ways, right?
Yes. And one thing with Blossom Time is it's afforded, you know, scholarships and opportunities to kids from all over Southwest Michigan. And, you know, and it encompasses, you know, 5-year-olds all the way up to 19-year-olds. And we've had a lot of the kids come back and say they got a job, and their interview skills that they learned through Blossom Time is what helped them, you know, interview well at their job. And they've even had people tell them, your interview skills are great. And they say, well, I learned it through Blossom Time. You know, it's not all high heels and makeup and, you know, crowns and stuff. It actually affords people to get scholarships, yeah, to learn how to speak in public, to your interview skills that you need for, you know, to get a job. Mm-hmm. So it's a lot of great things, and it promotes Southwest Michigan, which we, you know, always want to promote where you live and the community.
Yeah. And it's something I think is unique to this community. And because if you go across the United States, the pageants or just these kind of programs, they don't exist. I mean, some people I talk to when I say, yeah, there's this Blossom Time, it's a pageant, they teach you all this, there's scholarships and that, they don't have those in other communities. And I think it's something that's been a tradition and also a great thing in our community and continues to be. And what is it? The Grand Floral Parade is what, this coming weekend, right?
Well, the Grand Floral Parade, unfortunately, we had to cancel it because of COVID, which we had to last year. And we had to cancel a lot of events like a lot of organizations did. Right. But we do have the Youth Parade this Saturday at noon on Lake Boulevard. And then after the parade, the royalty is going to be in the storefronts as mannequins.
Oh, cool.
To promote the festival and things like that. And then Sunday, the following Sunday, not this Sunday, so the following, the 16th, there is the Blessing of the Blossoms, and the kids, the royalty get to play against, you know, their usual baseball team. Mm-hmm. They have that baseball game. So that'll be fun.
Yeah.
So at least we get to have some things again this year for Blossom Time and get the, you know, the royalty involved and the, in the community.
What more after your retirement, after you had that, what was your goal after you retired? What did you want to still accomplish after that 26-year career as a police officer?
Well, I still am involved with our Fraternal Order of Police, Lodge 100, and I help and chair the Police Memorial Day service, which is actually Police Week is coming up here really soon, National Police Week. So on May 14th at noon on the Bluff, we have the annual Peace Officers Memorial Day service, which honors the 17 officers that have been killed in the line of duty in Berrien County. So I'm still involved in law enforcement that way.
Yeah.
I don't have a job in law enforcement anymore, but I still want to be able to give back to my law enforcement community and support them and, you know, things like that.
Yeah. It's just so important to do that and continue to do that. And what would you say? So if somebody is, say, a young kid or maybe a high schooler or maybe about to start that first day on the job as a police officer, what piece of advice would you give them that maybe you wish you would have gotten when you would have started?
I think I would tell them to keep learning, always follow your training. You know, again, I would tell them what it was told me, be respectful and and do your job to the best of your ability.
Now I want to ask you about your wonderful husband. I do want to give a shout out to Jack, because I want to know, how did you guys meet? Because I know he has had a long career as with Medic One Ambulance and as EMT and all that. Did you guys cross paths on the job, or did you meet when you were younger? How did that happen?
Well, we're 10 years apart. So he always jokes. He goes, it's not like when you were, 10 and I was 20, I went, hey, can Denise come out and play or something? We did meet on the job. He's been in EMS for 43 years and subsequently moving up from an EMT to a paramedic, captain, operations manager. And he's been the director at Medic One for many, many years now. But when he was a captain still working in the street, we as police officers would go back up the ambulance on medical calls.
Sure.
And so he and his partner were at a call that I was at, and that's how we ended up meeting and became friends and started, hanging out. And that's how we ended up, being together.
How did he ask you out on a date? Do you remember that?
It wasn't really that. Actually, I had a really bad incident at work, and Lisa, the other officer, and I, we were out one night because of that. We were, she was kind of giving me a pep talk type thing. And Jack and his partner at the time, his ambulance partner at the time, came into HI's.
Okay.
And we just kind of sat and talked and became friends, and we're kind of actually realized we had the same group of friends. So it was kind of the hanging out and things like that.
That's wonderful.
He'll tell you that I tried to arrest him, but that's really not the case. He always does that. Be like, oh, how'd you be? Oh, she tried to arrest me. I'm like, yeah, okay.
And that is a true showing of his personality.
I'll tell you this story. So this is hilarious. He finds it hilarious. I want to smack him every time he says it. So because, in the ambulance service, fire service, they work the Kelly hours, the 24 on, 24 off. So for the longest time, Jack was a security officer at Orchards Mall. And I was working a shift where I could be at Orchards Mall. It was 3 to 11 shift. And so I went out there and we ate lunch together, and we were walking out of the mall office. And that's back when the mall office exited out into the food court. And yeah, this is a time when the mall was really busy and all the food, vendors were still there and everything. And he thought it would be funny to look at me and point really sternly and say, don't you ever do that in my mall again. And all of these people started looking. I'm like, oh, dude, you. So he tells that story all the time. So I might as well just tell it to him.
And you weren't wearing your uniform or
anything? No, I was in plain clothes. So it looked like I probably, shoplifted or whatever I did.
Wow, that's hilarious.
Yeah.
So what's something that somebody may not know about you, Denise?
Probably a lot of people know that I'm a huge Disney fan. We're Disney Vacation Club members, and actually one of our bathrooms, we have our bathroom, one of our small bathrooms at the house is a Mickey Minnie bathroom.
Okay.
And I'm a big Barry Manilow fan. I've been a Fanilow since Mandy.
Fanilow?
I'm a huge fan of them.
Fans are called.
Yeah. And this all, I can, like I said, I know when I first heard the song Mandy, where I was standing at, people talk about, when really bad things happen or certain things happen, they can remember. I can remember all those. Plus I remember, the first time I ever heard Mandy, and I was just hooked. Sure. And I've seen him, at least 12, 13 times, if not more, in front row and several concerts. And yeah, saw him, got his autograph and, things like that. But there was a story. So when I got my hair cut really, really short in the beginning, like 15 years ago, some of the guys I worked with thought, oh, man, she got her hair cut like Barry Manilow or whatever, because it was kind of his hairstyle and it wasn't really meant to be. So I came back to the office and was going to type a report. And when I the computer was asleep. So when I hit the mouse, the screensaver popped up and it was a Barry Manilow screensaver. I'm like, oh, okay.
Wow.
So yeah, they did that.
A little picking on you a little bit with that.
But it was funny though. It's all good because we picked on, we just pick on everybody. You have to, have a lot of fun at some point too.
Absolutely. What's your plans now, and what do you hope to accomplish here in the future?
Oh, well, I would like to, you know, continue to volunteer as long as I'm able to and give back to the community. And I love where I work currently part-time and hope to stay there for a long time. And, you know, we get to travel and yeah. hang out with some really good people and our family. And
yeah. And you've seen a lot of different things happen in the community over the years. And what is your hopes for our community? What would you like to see, whether it's like a business happen or just something, an activity we have or something new besides a Barry Manilow concert in downtown St. Joe? That would be great. But what would you love for the future of the community of St. Joe, Benton Harbor, that area?
I would like to see the two communities, you know, be unified, you know, come together. I loved Venetian Festival. I know most police officers that I worked with cannot say that. I loved Venetian Festival, so I really enjoy the summer concerts that they have, you know, down at the Band Shell or I should say at Silver Beach and things like that. I'd like to see the communities grow, you know, keep their activities like that. Yeah. Maybe have more, you know, God, everybody wants a Chick-fil-A. It seems like everybody wants a Chick-fil-A to come into town. So I would like to kind of see Chick-fil-A, you know, things like that. I would like to see us grow, maybe, you know, more chain restaurants, but support mom and pop places too. Mm-hmm. And, you know, keep the activities growing.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I've learned a lot from our conversation. Now I know all the restaurants that I need to go and visit through your advice and your times in the community and learn so much about you. Also, I do want to say, because you mentioned it, you do want to talk about Rusty, which I first thought was a nickname for your husband, but you corrected me. It's actually a name of your cat. So yeah. tell me about Rusty.
Rusty is a full black cat, and we didn't want a normal name, or I should say I didn't really want a normal name. And we are NASCAR fans.
Okay.
And Jack was a huge Rusty Wallace fan, I think only because it was the Miller Lite, you know, the Miller Lite car, as opposed to Budweiser. Sorry, Budweiser fans, but it's the Miller Lite house, and I don't drink Miller Lite, but Jack. So Rusty Wallace seemed, Rusty seemed to be the name, an unusual name for a full black cat. And our friend actually found him. They rescue animals, and Rusty was a little kitten, and they rescued Rusty from underneath their porch and knew that we were looking for another cat because ours had passed away a couple years prior. And I said, okay, let's name this cat something that normally you would not name a black cat. And so Rusty came up. So Rusty is the cat, and Rusty pretty much runs the house. And I'm surprised that Rusty has not made a visit.
An appearance, yeah. You mentioned before we started that there might be a cameo from Rusty, but I have not seen Rusty, which is surprising.
No, but he must be napping.
Last thing I want to ask you, if you were to title an autobiography of yourself, or if somebody was going to do a biography on you, what would you like it to be titled?
Oh, it would have to be, Julie Swedwa, who works for the Herald Palladium. She interviewed me before I retired, and she did a great, and it was the title of the, I should be able to spit this right out, but it was like bunkers and ball gowns, because I had that day, we had our certification training for the fire department up in Kalamazoo. So I had, you know, my police, not full police uniform on, but we had our fatigue type, you know, uniform on. So I was like in my police uniform. Then I was in my bunker gear to go through that training, our certification training for the fire department. And then that night was the Blossom Time Ball. And so I had to change into a dress. So all that's what the title of the news article was about. So that would have to be that would be a great autobiography.
That's hilarious. Were you in both of those outfits at that time? Were you like getting out of one and getting into the other?
Yeah, because we had to wear, like, we wore our police polo shirts and our fatigues, you know, our navy blue fatigues. And then we would have to put our bunker gear on, obviously, for the certification for the fire department. So I switched, you know, you throw your bunker gear on. And then, like I said, I got home and put my dress on to go to the ball, and happily was able to say that I was the first full-time female in St. Joe to be a certified firefighter.
Well, you've had a wonderful career, and you've had you've been a great person in our community and continue to be. So I'm just so happy that you had some time to share some of the wonderful stories that you had with me today.
Well, thank you for asking me. I really enjoyed this, and it's good seeing you. Maybe we'll see each other outside of video.
Yeah, hopefully in person very, very soon. I look forward to that.
Yes.
Thank you for listening to Start From the Beginning, Stories from Southwest Michigan. Special thanks to our guests for telling their stories. And if you have a story to tell, I'd love to hear more. Please reach out to me by emailing letstalk@wsjm.com. That's letstalk@wsjm.com. You can listen to this podcast and all the episodes wherever you like to listen to podcasts. And be sure to rate and review on Apple Podcasts. This is a Midwest Family production. I'm Johnny Reinhart. Join me next time for another great story on Start From the Beginning, Stories from Southwest Michigan.